following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another amazing episode of the Radio Dan Show, starring your host, Radio Dan.
Good evening.
Hello.
And welcome.
Welcome one, welcome all.
It's time for the Radio Dan Show. Broadcasted, coming at you live from the 954. Broward County represent tonight, Jessica.
Represent my ninja.
That's right, we hardcore down here over in Coral Springs, Florida.
Are you gangsta?
I'm gangster, yes.
I'm gangster too.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
We're so gangster around here. By the way, it's a lovely 67 degrees and breezy in the 954 tonight, in case anybody wants to know. Word. Jessica,
yeah.
Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
It's always such a lame time without you. You know that?
Aww.
As much as I like to belittle you, and actually I think that's kind of the fun of the program, is me making fun of you. When you're not here for me to do that, when you're not here for me to throw insults to, it kind of nullifies a good portion of the program. You know what I mean? Jeez. So basically, I just got to sit there and just throw insults to myself or bounce them against the wall. And nobody really wants that. Although, that's what we did last night. Anyway, welcome to the program. Just so you know, in case anybody's interested, Jeff Kinney, author of Diary of a Wimpy Kid, who was supposed to be on the program on Thursday but could not be, will be on tonight. That's right. Guaranteed.
Yay!
And is that Radio Dan guarantee really worth anything?
No.
Sorry, it ain't. But, you know, we do what we want.
Can I talk about something?
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you make it, like, quick?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. Make it quick.
I wanted to talk about a new realization I have come to. Now,
okay.
I'm putting it out there. I'm throwing it on the line, and I'm saying to everybody, this is what I'm going to try to do, and I'm going to try my damnedest to do it.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you everything that I'm trying to do, and Dan, you're going to keep the update.
All right, I'm going to keep the update.
Now, I know that we sometimes talk about books here, and I was introduced to a book today called Skinny Bitch.
Okay.
And I did some, you know, looking for it through Amazon. You know, they always have previews of the book. And this
right.
one had quite a bit. It had, like, I don't know, a good 20 pages to preview. And Skinny Bitch is about the overall vibe is a tough love way to get, you know, people to start eating better. And mostly, you know, they even try to get you to go totally organic vegan, which, of course, they also say is not, you know, necessarily going to happen. It's not necessarily going to happen overnight. But they do talk about...
I can tell you that's not going to happen.
Oh, yeah? I've got a surprise for you.
Oh, do you now? I don't think I like the word vegan and surprise. That's like a very lousy surprise.
Well, let's just say that I started a little bit today.
Okay.
And you know the chicken patties that I made for you today? The yummy chicken patties?
Oh, no. You're going to tell me something awful. Like they were made out of, I don't know, carob or something.
They were totally non-meat.
Oh, my God. Really?
Oh, my God.
Why would you do this
yes,
to me?
Yes, but did you enjoy them?
Yes, they were very good.
Weren't they great?
Yes, like, they were great.
The great thing about nowadays is if you want to go more in an organic vegan lifestyle.
All right, is it organic or is it vegan? Or is it the same thing?
Well, I guess, see, you can be organic and not vegan. You could just get everything, you know, meat and eggs and dairy, very organic without...
Can't we can do that, right? I don't have to go vegan.
No. Well, we're not doing dairy products, and we're not doing eggs.
I'm not doing dairy?
We're not doing dairy. That's why I got the...
Why do I go along with all of your cuckoo banana shenanigans?
Well, hopefully, you know, 2008, this year's going to be great.
2000 great.
That's the year that we're going to get healthy.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, but I'm going to eat meat along the way.
Well, I don't know. You might not realize it.
You know what, honey? I love you. You're great. But just so you know, you're not around me 24 hours a day. I'm going to eat some meat.
Oh, what are you going to do? You're going to be like, God, I need meat.
Just when I have lunch and stuff.
Well,
you know,
what
you're
if
not
I
around.
Make you lunches?
Well, what if I don't eat it? I throw it away and then I tell you that I ate it and you'll never know.
Why would you do that if it's good?
Because I want to eat meat. That's why.
Oh, you're digging your heels in the sand.
That's right. I'm a carnivore. And I'm proud of it, damn it.
Well, honestly, like yes. I said, the book goes into things like soda and sugar and sweeteners.
Okay.
And things like that. So, and from what I was reading, see, I ordered the book. I'm going to be getting it.
Right.
But from what I was reading, meat is more or less like, listen, we're like animal lovers, and meat kind of sits in your stomach and rots a little bit. It takes
okay.
a long time to digest and stuff. So it's not as bad as these other things that we're putting into our bodies, like soda, like artificial sweeteners and things like that. So
right, okay.
From what I got from that is if you don't want to stop eating meat, if you want to be like a chicken and fish type of person,
right.
then just get it as, you know, organically grown, homegrown as possible.
Okay.
You know, so that's, you know, that it's great that they're not, you know, going to sit there and pound that into you. But the funny thing is that this book is very tough love. I mean, they swear up and down.
Okay.
They're like, so you drink soda, huh? Well, you're stupid.
Oh, so they're jerks about it.
They're jerks about it. It's called tough love.
Oh, is that what that is? Is that what I give you all the time, tough love?
Yes.
All right. Well,
although the book doesn't come with eyes.
I'm sorry?
The book doesn't come with black eyes.
Oh, please. Nobody would ever believe that. Although, every once in a while, you say something like...
Kraltobarmt.
And you know. Tell me that's not deserving of a black eye!
Oh, my God. You know, that was for Ricardo Montalbán.
Yes, yes. Who's the guy on Fantasy Island, Jessica?
Kraltobarmt.
What? I'm sorry. Who played Khan in Star Trek II?
Kraltobarmt.
Who? I have a feeling that drop only entertains you and I.
I
don't
know.
Think anyone else enjoys
no,
it as much
okay.
as we do.
I'm telling you, we were like peeing our pants one time just listening to that over and over again.
Yeah. All right.
Sorry.
All right. Now, can I go get back to the actual, you know, the point of the show
well,
here is
yes.
is television and movies and
it's
things
also
that
pop
are entertaining.
Culture, and I think that you and I have come into
diets
the pop culture.
Are not pulp, not a pop culture thing.
What?
Shut up.
Poop culture? Listen.
Mm-hmm.
Books are, and
okay.
that's what this is. This is a
but
book.
It's a diet book. It doesn't count.
Not really. It's a way of life book.
Oh, good. You know what? Take your way of life and get out of here.
You know what, though? Honestly, I bet like in like a month or so.
Right.
I mean, I might go through
in a month or so, you'll be off it. You'll be back to eating
the
same
so?
Crap.
No, I don't think so.
I give this diet 3 month maximum.
Really?
Yeah. That's what I say. I say it's got a friggin' span of 3 months before you're off it.
Mm. Mm. I hope not.
Sorry about that. Sorry to be so spirit crushing, but that's what I do around here on the Radio Dan Show.
Well,
I crush
you will
spirits.
Try to help me keep going with it, though, right?
Well, yeah, sure. Why not? What else have I got to do?
Okay.
All right.
No eggs, too.
No eggs?
No eggs.
I like eggs.
I know you.
I
like eggs.
Breakfast food. What about bacon? Do I get bacon?
There's bacon-flavored stuff.
Oh, bacon-flavored, like bacos? You're going to give me bacos and just call that bacon?
No.
Fry that up?
No, it's like actual like stuff you cook.
Oh, so it's like imitation. Is it like turkey bacon?
Yes.
Oh no, it's not. It's like soy bacon or something.
No.
It's like some sort. Listen, it's like grass with bacon flavors.
Do you ever cook the food anyway? You know what? Dan lives a nice little life over here. He sits on the couch.
Go ahead, paint the fantasy picture. Go ahead.
He sits on the couch, and then all of a sudden, oh, there's breakfast. And all of a sudden, oh, there's dinner.
That's right.
Dan, are you hungry? Dinner's ready.
Aw, come on. There's no way that's accurate. Judges, is that right? Stupid judges. Supposed to have them in my pocket, you know. All right. Do
you
mind
you
if I get... Wait, wait, stop,
you.
Stop. Can I get back to the things I'm supposed to talk about
sure.
here on the program?
Go
is that
ahead.
Okay with you?
Yes.
All ahead. Right. Thank you very much.
So but we're in it, right? You're going to help?
Yeah, I'm in it. We're going to help. We're going to do it. We're going to go forward. There's no I in team. Everything.
But there's me in team.
Well, yeah, but you got to rearrange the letters. You got to do work to find it.
Yeah, but still, that's right. Not a very good little...
All right. Do you mind if I do the... Okay. The Razzie Awards were... The nominations are out today. Do you mind if I go over that before we get Mr. Kinney on the phone?
Okay, sure.
Jeez. Yamma. All about your diet. 10 minutes
it's
on a diet.
It's not a diet.
What? Oh, I'm sorry. All about your lifestyle choice. Lifestyle choices.
Wouldn't that be really neat if I could literally say I'm a vegan?
Why would that be neat? Because I would...
We could totally wear hemp clothes.
Why would I want to do that?
I'd have to throw away all your fur coats, though.
You know I don't go anywhere without fur. What are you talking about, Jessica? We're going to start hanging out with Woody Harrelson?
No more fur underwear, Dan.
Oh, everything else chafes on me. All right, your Razzie nominations were released, I believe, this morning, because the Oscar nominations come out tomorrow morning, Jessica.
Oh, so they're like first in the ball?
Yeah. Well, they come out just before, 8:30 in the morning tomorrow for Oscar nominations. But the Razzies, the worst of the worst. The worst picture, worst actor, all that good stuff. Has been announced, and I'll just go ahead and I'll run it down real quick. I think it's the opposite. I think for Razzies, it would be more like... Because it's not good.
That's
worst
true.
Picture, Jessica. We have the Antebert Fantasy Mogul's choice of Bratz.
He was the one guy who chose that movie.
Yes, he chose Bratz.
We skated by not having to see that, too.
Thank God.
Thank you, Haley.
Yes. Daddy Day Camp. I Know Who Killed Me.
Oh, poor Lindsay.
I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry. And Norbit. Norbit, I think, has a ton of nominations. Worst Actor, Nick Cage for A Combination of Things, Ghost Rider, The New National Treasure Book of Secrets, and Next. Jim Carrey for The Number 23.
Next.
Cuba Gooding Jr. for Daddy Day Camp and Norbit, but not American Gangster. Eddie Murphy. As Norbit in Norbit. Apparently, he's nominated a bunch of times, by the way. And Adam Sandler for Chuck and Larry. Worst Actress, Jessica Alba for Awake, Rise of the Silver Surfer, and Good Luck, Chuck. All three of the chicks who were playing the main characters in Bratz got nominated as a collective. Good for them. Elisha Cuthbert for Captivity. Diane Keaton, Because I Said So.
Isn't Elisha Cuthbert, like, the girl you really like?
I wouldn't say that.
She's the hockey girl, right?
Well, she likes hockey, so that makes her kind of cool.
I was going to say, she's also smoking hot.
Yeah, okay, she is
Kim,
smoking
right?
hot.
Right? She was
yes.
Kim on 24?
Yes. Yes. All right, just let me get through this, all right? Save your interjections.
I thought that was my job.
You see?
That's okay.
All right, and how about Lindsay Lohan? She gets nominated twice for the same movie because I guess
she's playing two different characters.
Yeah, so she gets two nominations for I Know Who Killed Me. Worst Supporting
Actor. Did Antebert
see
that movie?
Yes, he did, and he hated it like poison, by the way. Worst Supporting Actor, Orlando Bloom.
Oh, my gosh.
For Pirates of the Caribbean.
All right, listen. Orlando Bloom
yes.
on that episode of Extras.
Oh, yeah. Hilarious.
Hysterical.
Yes. The only time I've ever seen Orlando Bloom and didn't want to throw something at the screen.
Yes, but how funny that he was playing the exact character that you think he is.
Yeah, that's true.
He was like, oh my gosh.
I'm sure he didn't even have a script. I'm sure they just, Orlando, just show up. Just be yourself. Act like a pompous ass. All right.
Oh,
let's
it was
see.
So good.
Worst Supporting Actor, also Kevin James for Chuck and Larry. Eddie Murphy as Mr. Wong in Norbit. Rob Schneider for Chuck and Larry. And John Voight. Gets in there for Bratz, National Treasure, September Dawn, and Transformers. Wow, what a year for John Voight.
I know, they're so evil to these people.
What happened to John Voight? We've got to ponder that. We've got to take an entire hour wondering what happened to John Voight.
I tell you what, though, the Adam Sandler and I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry, I didn't see the movie, so I can't be a total 100% accurate in this. Seems like total phoning it in.
Okay.
Doesn't it? Like, he's like, yeah, I'm gay and I love men.
I can be very happy in the fact that I haven't seen most of these movies.
True.
I've avoided most of these. Worst supporting actress, Jessica Biel for Chuck and Larry. Carmen Electra for Epic Movie. Eddie Murphy as Respucia for Norbit. That's three for him, by the way. Julia Ormond for I Know Who Killed Me. I didn't even know she was in that. Nicolette Sheridan for Codename The Cleaner. Oh! I forgot that movie even existed. Worst screen couple. Fortunately, we're not nominated for this, Jessica.
No.
Because we're on the radio.
Yes.
Jessica Alba and either Hayden Christensen, Dane Cook, or Eoin Gruffudd. Apparently anyone who was hanging out with Jessica Alba. Is that how you say that?
I have no idea. Eoin.
I've always pondered and confused about that. Any... How about this nomination? Any combination of two totally airheaded characters for Bratz.
Now they're getting a little silly. Now they're getting lazy.
They get totally lazy. Lindsay Lohan and Lindsay Lohan for I Know Who Killed Me. And Eddie Murphy and Eddie Murphy and Eddie Murphy in Norbit. And Adam Sandler in... And either Kevin James or Jessica Biel. Basically, everyone that we've discussed already is getting nominated again.
Let's just throw every... Worst people ever. That's just the category. Worst group of people.
Worst remake or ripoff. Are We Done Yet? Remaking Mr. Blandings Builds His Dream House. Bratz. A ripoff if there ever was one, they say.
What?
Epic Movie, of every movie it rips off. I Know Who Killed Me, ripoff of Hostel, Saw, and The Patty Duke Show. And Who's Your Caddy, a ripoff of Caddyshack. Wow, there's way too many friggin' categories for the Razzies, I've come to realize as I'm reading this down.
Sequel or prequel.
And the worst sequel or prequel, Aliens vs. Predator Requiem, Daddy Day Camp, Jessica's favorite, Evan Almighty. Are you okay?
I didn't realize what it was a sequel of.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. Hannibal Rising and Hostel Part 2.
I love that movie.
Sorry about that. They have a new category. Worst excuse for a horror movie. Aliens vs. Predator, Requiem, Captivity, all the same movies. Captivity, yeah. Hannibal Rising, Hostel Part 2, I Know Who Killed Me. The Razzies, they really have to work hard to make a name for themselves, is what I've started to notice.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. All right, now, I remember a couple of years ago, back, I think it was 2005, they went ahead and they nominated Tom Cruise a bunch of times. That was the same year he had his couch jumping, I'm a Complete Lunatic episode. So it was like hip to hate the Tom Cruise. So they nominated him for War of the Worlds, like over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody was saying, well, you know, that's not really like a terrible movie. I don't know what you're thinking there. And they kind of had this attitude of, oh, well, you know, we're kind of like social commentators sometimes with the nominations that we do.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, no. So I think they just kind of went back to the, like, that didn't go over so well. I think they got back to the basics of, oh, yeah, you know what, we're just here to rip movies.
Yeah, exactly. Bad movies get bad raps.
Sorry, we're just here to do bad movies. I apologize to everybody. Sorry about that.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Jeff Kinney.
Hey there. How are you doing?
All right, welcome to the program.
Hello, Mr. Kinney.
Yes, I'm so sorry to screwed up last week.
See, look.
Listen to him. He's still so sorry.
I know. He's still lamenting it. Okay. For everyone who isn't familiar with this, Jeff Kinney, the author of Diary of a Wimpy Kid, who's on the line with us now, was supposed to be on Thursday night, and through some series of wacky coincidences and misunderstandings, could not be with us. Right after the show, he's like sending me emails just apologizing. Oh, my God. I'm so – he felt far worse than I did about
Happens all the time.
I told Dan that I once actually woke up in the middle of a soccer game that I was supposed to be refereeing, and that was the second worst feeling that I ever had. So thank you for calling me back.
Well, thanks for answering the phone this time, Jeff.
Yeah, I'm sure you were entertained by my answering machine.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to come up with something a little bit different. I actually had on my voicemail the Greatest American Hero song that I actually sang myself and got very lots and lots of requests to take it down, which I did.
All right. I once had an answering machine. When I was in college, I had my message say, you know, hello?
Oh.
Hello?
Oh, one of those.
Oh, those guys.
So all right.
I did all of that. And I had a guy that I was having like a contract dispute with that I bought a scooter from, but he didn't give me the title. And oh my God, he I got all sorts of fire and brimstone from him after. All I changed it shortly thereafter.
Well, yeah, I hear those Vespa negotiations can be hell, Jeff.
Yes, right. I've been through a couple.
All right. Sadly, I got my scooter stolen in college right after I put a fake cell phone antenna on the back of it.
Karma.
Oh.
Karma will always kick you in the butt.
Yeah, that's a... Jessica, you're so right. All right, so Diary of a Wimpy Kid. I would love to know what is the genesis of this for you? Where did this come from?
It came from me failing to break into the regular cartooning world, the regular newspaper cartooning world. That might not be your direct question, but it came about because I had tried for a few years to become a newspaper cartoonist, and
wow.
It didn't work out, and I realized I was going to have to take a different tack. So I came up with the idea that I do a book, I do it in book form. And as far as the inspiration, a lot of the inspiration comes from my memories of being a kid and thinking from the point of view of a seventh grade boy and sort of just trying to remember everything funny that ever happened to me or people in my family. So that's where a lot of the material came from.
So a lot of the material is stuff you went through then?
Oh, yeah. And I think, when I think of Greg, I was really worried as I was writing the book because he's a very unsavory character, very very accurate in reflecting my seventh grade psyche. But I was worried because I said, do any books really have a really, pathetic and amoral character at their center, So I'm glad it's worked out so far, but that was a little bit risky for me.
Well, that is what's so funny, because that's what I really love about this book, is that Greg, the main character, is really kind of a jerky kid.
Right,
and,
yeah, maybe it should have been Diary of a Jerky Kid.
I know,
right.
And I'm so surprised at how continually he's always kind of a jerk. Like, you understand his point of view because it's his diary, so, everything is well played out, and he rationalizes all of the wrong decisions that he makes, and it's just beautiful because, I was a jerky kid.
You're a jerky man now.
Absolutely correct. So, like, I completely relate to Greg.
Right. Well, that's good. That's good to hear, especially because I actually wrote the book for adults. I really, it took me an awful long time to write it. I think I started writing it about 10 years ago, almost to the day. I wouldn't be shocked if it was to the day. But I wrote it, I never ever had it in mind for a kid's audience. And even when it was acquired by my publisher, they had it, they had it in mind for an adult audience as well. And now looking, and so it's a strange thing to me that, this is really a hot book with fifth graders, and I hope they understand the irony. I hope they understand.
Right.
Well, you have.
Right.
You know what's really cool? All right, I remember being young and loving Calvin and Hobbes, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yep.
who didn't love Calvin and Hobbes, right? So then, then you grow up and you read them again, and how much funnier are they when you know what the heck they're actually talking about in the subtle undertones,
Yeah, that's a promising thought, because even if these kids aren't getting it right now, hopefully it'll stick around in their bathroom long enough that they can get it later on.
Oh, you're going to be total retro. You're going to be pop culture.
Right.
You're going to be making, adults smile from back in the day when they read.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Jeff's just getting started here, by the way. He's got a 5-book deal. I don't know if you know that.
Pressure.
He's already on it. So here's what I think is so interesting is that Diary of a Wimpy Kid is available for free on funbrain.com. It's a strip.
Yes.
And yet, despite that it's a free content, this is a best-selling book.
Yeah, I feel very lucky about that. I'm sure my publisher has breathed a giant sigh of relief. But that was kind of what it was that online it's about 1,300 pages long. The format's a little bit different. It's in daily entries, sort of like a blog.
Mm-hmm.
And we just figured, kids, you can't take a laptop to the bathroom with you, or maybe you shouldn't, but There we go with the bathroom reference again. But, you know, it's a book is a different thing, and so it didn't feel too risky. And plus, you know, online, I think I'm seeing that about 130,000 kids are reading it a day. So even if a small percentage of those of that number, you know, of kids purchases a book, then we're still in good shape. So.
Well, I tell you what, and this is a very funny way of thinking, but I had worked for Borders for a little bit as like a second job, you know, when we were struggling back in the day.
Oh, back in the day.
And I remember asking the managers, you know, a lot of people sit around and they just read the books. Are we okay with that? And they were like, oh, no, yes. Let them read for free, because when they buy a book, they will buy it from us. And I think that that goes along with this type of thing. You're getting a lot of kids going and reading it, but you know what? It just gets their appetite wet, and they probably just want to go and bother mom and dad to go and pick up this book on the weekend type of thing.
Yeah, I hope so. And I found that I think, you know, all these DVD collections of television shows, they just show that we're in a, you know, that's a similar model, is that you can see the shows for free, but then everybody who's a fan buys the thing.
Exactly.
You know, in the DVD box set. And it's just different. We're kind of collector ownership kind of mentality, and I think that even, you know, somebody who liked it online and kind of read the whole thing for free might still like to have it. And plus, it's honestly, I can say unabashedly, it's better. The print version is better. You know, it's been vetted much more heavily than the online version, and you know, the stories are different. So I think a lot of people wouldn't want to miss out on the. It's sort of like the web version is the practice run, and then the print version is the official thing. It's dogma.
Very cool.
All right, I'm getting a couple of questions in being messaged to me. First up from Wesley, he wants to know, who was the inspiration for Rowley?
I don't think that there is a direct inspiration from Rowley, and that's probably like the real Rowley right now trying to, you know, sue me. So I will say emphatically that there is no Rowley. But I will say that Rowley is sort of the, I would say he is the, you know, Greg, or I was kind of crappy to, you know, some of my friends growing up, and he is the collective manifestation of the target of that, you know, of that crappiness. So, you know, poor Rowley, he's like an innocent, good kid, and he's stuck with this kind of, you know, rotten friend.
Rotten.
And I think in my vision, Rowley grows up to be successful, and, you know, he has a wonderful wife and a very normal in good life, and, you know, Greg is stuck in some kind of unhappy
file clerk job. Like American Splendor.
Oh, don't say that. I still root for Greg, though. I still root for him to get over.
Greg.
No, oh, don't say that.
That's because you're the jerky kid.
Well, even if you see a movie about a serial killer or something like that, if it's told from the serial killer's point of view, you're like, ooh, I hope he doesn't get caught.
Yeah, I know. A.K.A. Dexter.
Oh, I'm such a fool. Right. All right, I have another question. This is from Andy. He wants to know what the inspiration for the cheese touch was.
The inspiration for the cheese touch, that's a mix. I think, you know, there's part of it that's fictional, which is the cooties portion of it. But
right.
the cheese was a real – the cheese and what ultimately happens with the cheese, and I won't spoil the ending for people who haven't read it, it was all true. At a local school, so I'm sad to say.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
True story.
Sorry.
Oh, that's...
That's really disturbing.
Actually, that is. Okay. Now, I know that the second of the Diary of a Wimpy Kid books is about to come out. Is that correct?
Yes, it is sort of leaking out now.
All right, so what day should we be going to the bookstore to pick that up?
Well, it wasn't supposed to be shelved until the 1st of February, but a lot of stores, Borders and Barnes & Noble, they started shelving it when they got it in, so that's great. That's great for me, and it seems to be doing well already.
Oh, that's great.
So I think you can go there now.
All right. Is there going to be any differences from this book from the last one?
Well, the first three books, this is a little bit complicated, but the first three books are really derived from the online version. So it's, the online version is sort of like the Q source for biblical scholars out there, but it's, I'm not sure how many you have in your audience. But it is, you know, and then books 4 and 5 will be kind of all new material. But yeah, book 2 is mostly about Greg's relationship with his older brother, Roderick.
Oh, nice.
Okay, so let me ask you this question. Now, when you go ahead and you make a deal like this for the 5 books, and you've already got the material for 3, it's already mined. Do you feel any pressure on the last 2 books?
Yeah, I feel a lot of pressure actually, but it's a good problem to have. So, and I think this is sort of similar to being a stand-up comic who's been on the road with his act for about 1.5 years using the same material. You die a little bit each time you have to you kind of repeat or use something that you've written before. You know, the book 4 is going to give me an opportunity to write just a lot of fresh material, and I'm definitely excited to do that.
Oh, how neat. So it's almost exciting for you because it's like getting out of the stuff that's been circulating for a little bit.
Right, exactly, yeah. And I was thinking about, like, you know, and I'm setting it in the summer, you know, summer vacation.
Oh,
so it's going to be quite different. And I was thinking about, you know, the kind of thing that will come to mind in inspiring me is thinking about, you know, when I used to be a kid and then you'd have to go through the locker room to get to the pool.
Uh-huh.
And there would be, like, you know, men showering
with
open pits.
Oh, God.
I hated that.
I know what you're talking about.
That sucks.
And awful. Assault on a kid, you know. You never see anything like that. You don't need to see anything like that. And, you know, that's the kind of material that I'm going for in book 4 and 5.
Now, your book is so successful right now. It was number 1 on the New York Times bestseller for chapter books. Is that right?
Yeah, it's been on and off of number 1 for a while, and right now it's back on, so that's pretty cool.
That's
so awesome.
Right?
You know what? I heard that it was because the buzz was that you were going to be on the Radio Dan show. So
is that right?
Great.
Wow. Good. Well, Jessica, I couldn't have said that better myself. Wow. So now, here's the formula that I seem to notice in these things, is that a best-selling book then becomes adapted to another medium. So is there any movie or television or anything else that's possibly being discussed?
Yes. I'm in discussions with lots of different studios and television networks about this on a weekly basis. So, I don't know how I feel about that. I think I won't do anything unless it feels exactly right. And I haven't found anything that feels exactly right yet. So I'm going to keep my options open, and I'm not looking to sort of cash in on this. I'd only like to do something if it was just, you know, if it was a quality product.
Wow.
Okay, let me ask you this question. Now, if I went ahead and I said to you, hey, my name's Radio Dan. I'm from Radio Dan Pictures, and I have an infinite amount of budget to adapt this book. Now, how would you like it to be adapted? Would you like it as an animation with the same style of illustrations that you use, or maybe a live action, or maybe a combination of both?
That's a good question. I've been sort of thinking about the combination of both, because I think that if you just imagine for a moment, if you know, you saw your first picture of a live action Greg Heffley, and there's no way that you would not say, wow, I'm really disappointed. That's not what he looked like in my mind.
True.
It's complicated further by the fact that, you know, Greg has like 3 hairs sticking out from the top of his head.
Yes.
So I don't know who you can cast that's going to look like that. But so I think I have some clever plans for mixing the two worlds together and kind of keeping the integrity of the art while also having kind of a live action thread.
That is so neat. Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much.
I got to tell you, Jessica, how funny was this book? Like, you would see me reading this book and just laughing my head off.
I know. It would make me laugh. He was like falling on the floor reading it online.
That's great. That's awesome. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Now, I also know that you happen to be doing a book tour right now.
Yes, I'm just about to start the book tour.
Okay. So have you already done one before, or is this your first one?
I've been on quite a few individual trips. In fact, I went on in last fall. I think I was on 14 trips, just here and there, long weekends, that kind of a thing. But this is my first official real live book tour, so it will be interesting. My publisher has promised to make it very, very interesting and difficult on me.
So does that mean, like, beforehand, like, say, maybe Borders down in down here in South Florida would say, hey, you know what, why don't you come and do a signing with us, we'll pay for your way type of thing. Is that how it worked?
That is kind of how it works. Different. It's really odd. I think you do bookstore visits for free, and then schools pay you, which seems strange or backwards.
I know.
So I think, and then libraries, I believe, is for free. So it's odd, the economy of how all of that works. I'll usually do Borders and Barnes & Noble independent bookstores if they're within striking range, or if they accompany another part of my travels. I guess that's the answer to your question, right?
Very neat, yeah. So this official book tour, is it going to be like, okay, now I'm leaving home and I'm going to be on the road in a big circle or a zigzag through the country and that type of deal?
Yeah, I have a giant bus, just like the John Madden, the Monday Night Football. I wish I did. I'm going to be like, hopping in this rental car or that rental car. It will be very low key. I think I've La Quinta Inns are the highest I go.
Oh, fancy!
Our number one bookseller, Jeff Kidd.
All right. My publishers treat me very well, so I think I've graduated to Sheratons and such, but. But, yeah, I'm going to be going around and just hopping from place to place, starting in Maine and going all the way to Washington State and California, and then back home to the reality of my life.
One thing that I have noticed, though, is that for some unknown reason, you've left Florida off your trip.
I will be down there again. I'm sure that I'll be down there again. I'm actually going on a Disney cruise, I'm ashamed to say, in a few months. So I'll be there. I'll be in Florida.
A Disney cruise? Is that the company trying to schmooze you? Don't fall for their tricks, Jeff.
Yeah, that will be that. Actually, that's going to be my only family vacation this year. I'm very much looking forward to it.
Aww.
Okay.
Well, do you have any kids of your own?
Yes, I have a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old. In fact, I was just asked by my wife, like 2 minutes before this interview, to go upstairs and stand guard at my 2-year-old's room at his door because he's learned how to crawl out of the crib. And, then he encounters me in the hallway and kind of flips out and crawls back into his crib. So that's what I'm good for in this family.
I think I remember the first time we saw Dan's daughter just standing in the hallway.
Oh. Oh.
It kind of creeps you out because it's like you see their silhouette and they're kind of,
right,
a little bit hazy.
And you're thinking, who could that be? Because it's just not in your head that it could be your child. It's like, wait a minute, what is that coming at me?
Right. And they can't really believe it either.
Yeah, they're like, is this okay?
Right. How did I get here? I know, and it's such a moment in time that's lost for you because you had such great control at that point. Yes, you stay in here. Now they're out. It's like the genie out of the bottle.
Yes.
Well, I had my first son. Like, we hemmed him in with this kind of like mosquito net kind of thing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Note to
so
self.
So if he ever got out, he'd be like, wrapped in it like a cocoon or something. Drooping off of the side of the
car. Oh, you might not want to say that publicly. We don't need a headline, child's author abusing children with mosquito nets.
Right.
That's great.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are running out of time here, Jeff, but I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure to be here finally.
And 100% good luck with your book tour and with the next couple books you got coming out. And congratulations again.
And with everything. And I'm going to be getting all 5 of these books because I am a genuinely huge fan of this.
That's great. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. All right. I'll talk to you until next time.
All right. Have a good one.
Have a good one, Jeff. All right, everybody. Jeff Kinney, author of Diary of a Wimpy Kid. joining us tonight, sharing some good information. It was a fun interview.
Oh, it was great.
Very, very nice, polite man. Isn't that nice to have nice, polite people on the program?
It's wonderful to have polite, wonderful people on the program.
It's wonderful.
Isn't it, though? Okay.
Oh, we, you know what? We didn't get him to do a Talk Radio X.
Oh, we didn't get a promo. Well, we can do that next time.
Yes.
Okay. I can't remember everything on the show, Jessica. Come on.
That's true.
You know, do
That's
I get
true. It? It's not like you're intelligent or anything.
What's that supposed to mean?
I'm standing up for you.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, I am.
Thank you, honey. Okay. Thank you very much. All right. Now, let's get back to the utter nonsense
let's
that this show actually
is. Let's get back to the meat
is.
And potatoes that we're not going to be able to have anymore because I'm going vegan.
I don't want to discuss it anymore. I wasn't even interested in it to begin with. I was faking that the whole time.
Listen, I said let's get to the meat and potatoes of the show. Go.
Oh, okay.
What are you talking about?
You just had to throw your whole vegan thing
Why?
In there.
Why
no
are
one's
you,
interested.
Now you're taking it like minutes and you're going to yell at me. Oh, you know what? I had stuff to go over and I didn't
all of a
have
sudden,
time
every
to.
Episode, we have to become Nick and Nora. Enough. Just calm yourself, all right? All right, we're going to go from best-selling children's author to Omarosa on The Celebrity Apprentice.
That's wah, 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 wah.
I know, what a segue. But actually, this is really funny, okay? Now, I don't watch Celebrity Apprentice, and I don't watch any kind of apprentice. I don't even watch The Sorcerer's Apprentice on from Fantasia.
Can I, you know what, can I ask you a question?
Ask away.
Do you think that it's right that Omarosa, who was famous for being on The Apprentice,
yes.
is now on Celebrity Apprentice?
I think that should show you just how fraudulent Celebrity Apprentice is.
Okay.
I think they should put celebrity in quotes when they list it in the TV guide.
Or put the word celebrity and then put a picture of a guy winking.
Or you know what? They should just spell it with an S. That's what, that I would be in, I would totally be in favor of that. By the way, Skype is back up in case anybody wants to you know, say hello or anything like that.
Hello.
Hello. Anyway, check this out. Now, before Celebrity Apprentice began, right? Now, Omarosa was going to be on, and she's going to be on there. I'm sorry, she's already on there with Piers Morgan. Now, I don't know who this guy is, but apparently he's a judge on that awful America's Got Talent show, which I believe is the program that David Hasselhoff is also a judge on.
Oh.
Okay. And according to this guy, according to Piers Morgan, Omarosa approached him beforehand and said, "Hey, you want to have a showmance?" And he said, "I'm sorry, I don't know what you're talking about." So she said, "Well, you know, it's a romance that you have on a reality TV show."
Oh, like it's not real?
Yeah, like it's not real. I love it, though. All right, now, where was I? I was discussing a showmance on Celebrity Apprentice.
Yes.
All right, by the way, we filled our gay quotient for the month, I think.
Yes.
All right.
We have topped off.
This Leo. All right, so I don't know. Is that any funnier than Omarosa approaching someone else that she's going to be on a reality show and saying, "Hey, let's have a fake romance on the show"? He told her that he ended up telling her, "You know what? I think you're pathetic and deluded."
Oh, really?
Yes, well, that's what he claims.
Well,
I mean, we're only getting his side of the story, but how funny is that?
Well, you know, I'm not that I'm going to. I guess yeah, if you get one side of the story, but come on, what's the other side to that? You know?
Yes.
But But, you know, that's what she does, though. You know, she was on the Apprentice because she's, you know, very conniving and very good business sense. And in the reality show business.
Right.
You know, she's a little bit too out there, though. I think you're supposed to be a little bit more couth.
Okay.
I guess she's not an actress, so, you know, you can't really go there. She's a reality TV star, so. But, you know, she knows how to play the game, and she plays it. And, you know, she keeps getting that paycheck that we're not getting.
You know what? I cannot stand that philosophy of, all right, well, somebody's getting paid, so it must be okay.
Hey, Dan.
I still reserve the right to rip people and make fun of them and think less of them.
Tomorrow on the show,
yes.
We should start a showmance.
Oh, you want to do that?
Uh-huh.
That's not a bad idea.
Right?
Right. You know, we could even, like, have, like, this phony marriage.
You know what? I can print up a document.
Could that be any faker than the one that we already have?
I don't think so.
Pretty soon, everyone's going to figure out that you're just a beard at this point.
Just a beard?
Yeah, especially with all the calls that are coming in. Anyway, we are running out of time here on the Radio Dan Show. Please join us again tomorrow night because it's going to be DVD night, Jessica.
Great!
Oh, Jessica. Right. Wow, that was, you know, yeah. No enthusiasm.
It's wonderful!
Yeah, you weren't here last week. when we...
You weren't here either.
That's right, I wasn't. But, boy, that was really dumb, wasn't it?
Don't worry, I love you for your handsome good looks.
All right, 10 seconds, but in the heat of the night was last week, you could have got that, but since you weren't here, you don't get it!
Yes, I do.
All right, anyway, please stick around for the live test show with...
And two birds!
And a cast of thousands! Say goodnight, Jessica!
Good night, Jessica!
Yamma, 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 whoopee-doo, scooby-doo, and gobbledygook!